674.
Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, 41 through 59. John chapter 6, 41 through 59. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How doth he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every one that hath heard from the Father hath learned cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save that he is from God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have not life in yourselves. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. And the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum.
Morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Friends, it's good to see you all once again. I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. Got a good night's rest last night. The passage we just read at first can be a little difficult to understand, can't it? It can be a little difficult to understand. A lot of passages in Scripture are like that. They might be difficult to understand at first. It might take a lot of pondering, a lot of thinking to try to understand exactly what Jesus is saying or exactly what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. But a few things I want to point out to you that happen in this passage and really what this is meaning here, so that we no longer wonder about what God is trying to tell us in this passage. There's always going to be people that don't like the teachings of Christ. There's always going to be people that do like the teachings of Christ. But those people that don't like the teachings of Christ, we're going to see them walk away before fully understanding, before trying to understand. Those people that are really not true Christians, those people that really don't have a true dedication to Christ, that really don't have truly faith in Christ, that don't have faith in God, don't really believe in God, as we see in John 6:60, as we're going to look at, these people had an issue with that, with belief in God. And we understand that even though there might be all these disciples of Christ around us, even though we might be in a massive congregation full of hundreds of people, hundreds of Christians, there still can always be a traitor among us. A traitor among us. And Jesus even himself called this a betrayal. Whenever one does not believe, whenever one walks away from him, such as these would do, and as they will do here in a moment. But it is hard, once again, to understand some teachings of Christ. Now, does this make us angry at Jesus because we don't understand? Because maybe we misinterpret some things that are being said? Does this make us angry at Jesus? Does this make us angry at God? Well, it shouldn't. Or do we seek harder to understand? Rather, we should seek harder to understand. So the question then also is, are you an unbelieving disciple? Or are you a believing disciple of Jesus Christ? With faith, are you a disciple that doesn't take sight, that doesn't take a miracle, that doesn't take being babysat every single time something hard happens, every single time that you need to know about this Scripture, does that make you immediately run away from Jesus, or do you want to seek further to understand? Are you like the Bereans, you want to search the Scriptures daily there in Acts 17? Or do you just walk away? What Christian are you like? What type of Christian are you? An unbelieving disciple with no faith, or a believing disciple with faith? Really, even regardless of what Jesus says, you still believe that Jesus is trying to tell you something that's important to your salvation. Of course, that's what he was doing here, but these people went ahead and just left him anyways. Really not even understanding. Some did understand, but they just left because they didn't believe. Well, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian am I? That's the point I'm trying to make here. So these Jews, what were they complaining about? As we just read in the Scripture there, we saw many different things that Jesus was saying, but they were complaining about how can Jesus come from heaven if we know his parents? Well, that's a physical question. Certainly it makes sense. How can he have come down from heaven if I know his parents? I know Mary. I know Joseph. That's what the Jews are saying here. We know who his parents are. That's Mary and Joseph. So how could he have come directly from heaven? Then they also ask, how can we eat of his flesh and of his blood? How can we do that? Well, they didn't understand. So what do? They immediately attack. They immediately freak out, as sometimes people of God will do, because they don't understand a passage, because they don't understand what God is saying, or they're misinterpreting it. They immediately freak out. They leave Christ. They go to a denomination. They go crazy. I mean, all kinds of things happen. We have antis that be brought up. All different kinds of things happen. So we need to try to remember that we need to have faith in Jesus, that even though we don't maybe understand at first, that's okay. That shouldn't make us leave Jesus. That shouldn't make us leave God entirely. Just because we don't first understand the Scripture or what Jesus is maybe saying in a set passage. Or maybe even one of the apostles or the prophets. So what does Jesus really mean here, though? Let's really try to understand what he's meaning. And I'm sure that some of us are already figuring out for ourselves. But what he's referencing here is how he himself is the body. He would give himself, his own body, his own flesh, to be a sacrifice for man's sins. He's actually basically in a way prophesying of his death, which he would do many times throughout the Scriptures and the New Testament, as we know in the Gospel accounts. He would try to tell his disciples. He would try to tell the Jews, I'm the way of life. He kept trying to say it many different times. And in this way, he's trying to represent it in a figurative way. He's trying to tell them in this way that it's also a spiritual thing, as he will clarify later. But he's trying to tell them this simple thing, that his flesh and his blood are required by even his Father in order for man to have salvation. Without it, there's no way that we could be saved. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, turn there with me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. We're going to be turning to quite a few scriptures here, so get your Bible hands ready here. 1 Peter 2:24. Let's read it together. I want you to see it for yourself. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose," this is Jesus, "stripes you were healed." So he bore our sins with his own body on the tree. Once again, that would be his flesh and his blood. What do we as Christians partake of? We partake of 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26, if we go there. What are we partaking of every first day of the week? We do it, Christians. What do? 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to start in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." There's the body. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." There's the blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So, what people will do to a passage like John 6, like we were just talking about there, without understanding, without clarification, without seeking to understand, they'll immediately take it in some horrible way that really is a contradiction to the Scriptures, that really doesn't make sense with the teachings of God, and they'll completely go off rails. Well, we need to understand here that Jesus is referencing how he would give himself his own body, his own flesh and blood on the tree. And then what is that tree? That's the cross. He would do that for all mankind. They haven't seen it yet, but they should have the faith to believe that that's going to happen. We should have the faith that that did happen. we may not be able to see things, but 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight, don't we? Well, those Pharisees were trying to walk so much by sight, and those disciples who would leave Jesus there in John 6:60, they walked by sight, most likely. So they left Jesus. They didn't believe what Jesus was saying. They thought it was crazy, most likely. And Jesus, the master teacher, God Himself, He was teaching exactly what He'd most likely been teaching the whole time. They just really, it finally went up to a point where they just finally up and left. They didn't believe. And we'll see that later as we go through the text. They didn't believe. Now let's read John 6:48. John 6:48, back in our main text. I am the bread of life, Jesus says there. And then He says, your fathers ate the man in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. And what is that bread in verse 51? I am the living bread, Jesus says, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now the Jews, what do they do? Not understanding, verse 52. They quarrel amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It's kind of a silly question, isn't it? Kind of a silly question. For us as Christians who understand, it is a silly question for them to be asking this. Maybe they genuinely didn't understand. Well, maybe it's because they genuinely didn't have faith in God. And we do see that in verse 60 there, that a lack of belief is present. There is an unbelieving nature, of course, in the disciples, specifically the disciples of Christ. And of course, that's a very sad thing. So they might have not fully understood still. Some might have just not liked the teaching. We know that some Christians will leave the church entirely because they don't like a teaching of God. They just leave. They go to a congregation that's maybe more accepting of what they want, of their desires. Just because a congregation is accepting of your wants and desires, does that make it the will of God? Well, obviously not. That's the will of man. That's not the will of God. If it's your want and your desire, that's not the will of God. That's the will of man. That's a pretty simple thing to understand. So, a traitor is among us. What do we mean by that? A traitor is among us. Maybe not one who's persecuting us, but one who is sitting among us who is unbelieving. One who has no faith. One who's ready to just up and leave at a random time because he gets offended by something and he just gets angry immediately and just leaves. Christians, I hope none of us are like that. I hope none of us are like that. And we seek further to understand what God is trying to tell us. Every single time we dive into these scriptures, don't just up and leave. Don't just up and leave. Try to understand. And don't think about your own desires and what you want. What is it about? Is it about what you want or what the Heavenly Father wants? Who made you? It's about what God has set for you, what God demands of us as His creation. He has every right to do that, Christians, friends. God has every right to demand how we should live in our lives. He has earned that. He loves us. He's taken care of us all throughout time. We're sitting here in these pews in peace because of God's love. He has earned that right. Give Him that respect. God deserves that respect. Don't be a traitor among us and just up and leave. Hebrews 9:28. Let's turn there together. We're going to read a couple verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 9:28. 9:28. Try to understand what this is saying here a little more. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So there it is once again. He's bearing Himself on that tree. He's putting His own body on that tree on the cross. He's bearing the sins of many. So His sacrifice had to be necessary in order for our sins to be taken away. Now go to 10:12. 10:12, the same book. Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now go to verse 19. Verse 19, same chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There it is, the blood. By a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So once again, by the blood of Jesus, He gave Himself. And even there in verse 20, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. He's talking about his literal flesh. His literal flesh. Not that we are partaking of his literal flesh whenever he said this. Not that the Jews were to partake of his literal flesh whenever he said that. If that was the case, that's what he would have had his disciples doing. And that would have been crazy, right? But that's not what they were doing. So he must have been referring to something that was in the future. Obviously, if you were someone who was paying attention, who was seeking to understand, you could easily get that. That's something that Jesus is talking about in the future. If you're someone who had faith in Jesus and in what Jesus was saying prophetically, you would believe that to happen in the future. That's what Jesus was trying to say. And of course, the apostles would say, we know that as we're about to read more of this text. But these people who were about to leave, they were offended by it. They were offended. Read with me John 6:60. John 6:60. Chapter 6 and verse 60 in our main text. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Continue there. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew the disciples that were going to betray him. He knew the Jews were going to complain about this. He knew there were disciples that were going to complain about this. He knew, as Jesus just said there in the last verse we just read, that there were traitors among them. There were traitors. Jesus knew this and he was ready to deal with this. But these unbelievers, these traitors, can that be said about us? If we get offended by one saying, do we have the faith to believe that Jesus is telling us what we need for salvation? Or will we rather just walk away? Do we not have a dedication for Christ? Do we not have a love for the light? Do we not have a belief in Christ? What is your condition, Christians? What is your spiritual condition in your hearts? What's my spiritual condition? If I hear one thing from the Scriptures, go back to the book of Zechariah. Go back to the book of Daniel. Go back to all these prophetical books, all these apocryphal type books. Go to the book of Revelation. You start reading all this figurative language, right? All this figurative language. It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Not unless you go into the text and you really start just reading it. And it does make sense. It actually does. Whenever you just sit down and you start reading it. But even with a little teaching, you further understand it. But sometimes people will see those texts and they'll see texts like this. And what do? They get angry about it. They get offended. It offends their heart. It offends the way they think, the way they do things. Christians, friends, not everything is about you. Not everything is about me. It's not a mark against us, but in a way it really is. Not everything is about us. Jesus, whenever he came to the service, was a servant, right? He showed humility. Let's show some humility even whenever we study God's Word. Even whenever Jesus is trying to tell us something. Not just up and immediately walk away. Or walk away even from our brethren. So when we misunderstand or dislike a teaching, does that cause us to walk away from God entirely? That's the question I'm trying to ask us this morning. Or through the love of Jesus and God, do we desire to understand what Jesus is saying? To understand what God is saying? Now that explanation that was just given, we just read it, verses 61 through 65. We're going to read it again. When Jesus knew in himself, John 6:61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Now I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. 62. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? What's the first words that he's saying there? He says in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. So we've already seen he's not talking about things of a physical nature, is he? He's not talking about physical things. What's he talking about? Continue on. The words that I speak to you are spirit. The words that I speak to you are spirit. You think Jews, Pharisees should have gotten that? You think they should have gotten that? Yeah. The disciples of Christ who were hearing things like this around him all the time, you think they should have gotten that? Yeah. They were no stranger to teachings like this. Absolutely not. They were hearing teachings like this. The problem is, once again, as we just read, verse 64, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. Who they were who would betray him. They didn't believe. There was no faith there. It's not just because they didn't like it. It's because even they didn't believe it. So the question is, Christians, we might hear a teaching from God. We might go in the Scriptures and hear something that at first sounds crazy to us. But what do? Do we seek further to understand it out of our love, dedication to God, our faith in God? Or do we just up and walk away entirely from the church? There are Christians that do that. That's a sad thing. They just up and walk away. They go to form another congregation because they don't like what it says here. So they'd rather just take that out, up and make another congregation. There you have a denomination. Just start it up. There's another one of the billion that there are on earth. That's sad, isn't it? That's really sad. A traitor among us. A traitor. One who is unbelieving. One who really, even though Jesus just explained it, you might try to explain it to them, but they just up and walk away. So if even Jesus Himself couldn't explain this to them, and they up and walked away from Jesus, that's a problem, right? I mean, who could do it if Jesus couldn't? So these people were truly unbelieving. They truly did not love their God. They did not have a dedication to Christ. I'm talking about even disciples of Christ, fellow Christians. That's a problem, isn't it? John chapter 20 and verse 29. Let's turn there real quick. John 20, 29. John 20, 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Those disciples of Christ in John 6, did they see Jesus dying yet? Had they seen those things take place? Did they know how the Jews were going to come into the Garden of Gethsemane with Judas? They were going to take him. They were all going to go. Even Jesus mentions at the bottom of that passage that there was a betrayer amongst his apostles. He mentions that. Did they know that yet? Did they know who that was going to be? Did they know all those things that were going to come to pass already? Did they see that? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But they still should have had what? Faith. They still should have had faith, Hebrews 11:6, because without faith it's impossible to please God. They should have had faith that those things were going to happen just as Jesus said. Even though they might not have understood at first, they could have asked for further clarification. And Jesus gave it. But once again, what was the problem? Their hearts. They didn't believe. They didn't have faith. That's the problem. That's the issue here with these people, with these disciples of Christ, with these Jews even. We're talking about people of God here, people who knew Scripture, people who knew the things of God, and they are not believing. That's an issue with the heart, Christians. We might have that happen to us today. Don't let that be so. Whenever you see a Scripture, seek further to understand. Out of your love for God, out of your dedication to Jesus, to Christ, don't just walk away from Him. Were you a true disciple in the first place if you just up and walk away from Him? No, I don't believe you were. And if I do that, if I just up and walk away from Christ because I studied every word of this Bible, every word of this Bible, as a preacher, I had to do that in the preaching school I attended for 2 years. And if I just, I had a lot of questions about a lot of things throughout these Scriptures, a lot of things. And if I up and got offended one day and just walked away because I'm offended by what God just said, so I'm just going to walk away now. Was I a true disciple of Christ? No. No, that's not faith. That's not love for God. I didn't seek further to understand, to see it in context, to see all those things. Christians, why are we doing that? Why do we want to do that? Why would we ever do that? Why are these all these congregations that are split from each other made like that? Why are these denominations made? Because of the wants and the desires of man. Because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the words of God. That's the problem. It's with man's heart. We ask, God, why are you doing this? God, why are you doing this? It's not God's fault. Whose fault is it? Whose fault was it in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden? Was it God's fault whenever He was walking around? No, it wasn't His fault. It was Eve who took the fruit, and then Adam took the fruit. It was humanity's fault, wasn't it? Humanity's. It wasn't God's fault. So Jesus, again, in this passage, He's referring to spiritual things. His body would be a sacrifice spiritually so our sins could be washed away. That's said continuously throughout the New Testament. That is the purpose for baptism, We can only be baptized because of the sacrifice that Jesus did. We're remiss of our sins. We're added to the Lord's church whenever we're baptized. There in Acts 2:38, we're told to repent and be baptized, right? Many other passages, Mark 16, 15 through 16, we're told to believe and be baptized. You see that plan of salvation constantly. You see baptism, the only reason we have baptism is because of who? Because of Jesus. Because He offered His body, His flesh and blood on the cross. If He hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have salvation. That was God's plan from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians says in that book. From before the foundation of the world, that's how God planned it. So there was no other way. There is no other way, Acts 4:12, other than Jesus. That's the only way that we can be saved. Now let's go to Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13. This is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible that I want you to read and remind yourself of daily. Matthew 7:13. I'm going to tell you why you need to remind yourself of this daily. Matthew 7:13. Read it with me. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. What is it about to say? Are there few who go in it? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Many who go in by it. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. These two verses here, extremely important. Extremely important. Once again, as we said before, there may be countless denominations, millions and millions of denominations and beliefs and societies for these spiritual type things and all this healing going on, faith healers. There may be all that crazy stuff going on. And I call it crazy because it's not God's way. There may be all that going on. That's the many. That's not the few. Do you understand that going with the crowd is not usually the right way? Being a Christian is about being different. Did you know that? It's about being different. It's about living a life that's different from the populace that you're living in. It's about living a life of purity, a life of spiritual righteousness, a life that people can look at and see God. If they don't see God in you, that's a problem. There's a problem with your heart. If they didn't see God in me, there's a problem with my heart. Christians, we need to be different. Are we of the few who enter by the narrow gate? Because it is few. Many religious people are of the many. The many. Because they don't worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:23-24. They don't do that. And then as well, Matthew 7:21-23 talks about, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. These religious people, there's tons of them. That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad they at least love God. But here's the problem. They don't do the will of the Father in heaven. That's an issue. That's an issue, isn't it? What are we doing here today? We're doing the will of the Father in heaven, aren't we? Christians, are we doing the will of the Father in heaven? Yes. Yes, we are. We're doing how the New Testament has set out for us. These denominations don't. They don't. The world doesn't. A lot of people don't even start with believing in God. That's not according to the will of God. So they might say, Lord, 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 look what all we did for you. Look how many people we helped. Look how much charity we did. Did you do my will in worship? Well, I think we did. Did you do my will in worship? Did you have all five acts of worship as I instituted in the New Testament by both command and example in the gospel accounts and the epistles? Did you do that? Well, no, I guess we didn't. Then depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, verse 23, Matthew 7:23. Right? That's an issue. That's an issue. There may be many religious people, but is everyone going to be saved? Is everyone going to heaven? No. Everyone says they're going to heaven, right? Everyone says it. I'm going to heaven. He or she's going to heaven over there. I'm a celebrity. I'm going to heaven. All these celebrities, they say they're going to heaven. All these popular people, they're going to heaven. All these preachers, they're all preaching heaven in these denominations all the time. There's never any such thing as hell. But the problem is there is a such thing as hell. Peace, peace, right? Peace, peace. That's not how God teaches it. That's not what God says to us in the Scriptures. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Where are you going? Where am I going? And if Jesus came right now, because He definitely could. Where are you going? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Broad way with many or narrow way with a few who find it? Do you know why it says a few find it? Because most people don't want to do it God's way. Most want to do it what? Man's way. That's what these disciples here in John 6 were doing. Man's way. Man's way. They didn't believe in God. They didn't want to have faith in God. Why? They wanted to do it man's way. The Pharisees had such trouble going to Christ, converting to Christianity. Why? Because they wanted to do it man's way. Man's way, man's way, man's way, man's way. Why is it always about man? Through the prophets, through the patriarchs, all throughout the scriptures, it's all about man, isn't it? No, it's not. It's actually about God. It's about doing God's will. His covenants, what happened to His covenants? Do we just throw them in a closet and forget about them? I guess we do. Why? It's about doing the will of God, Christians. I think we know that. Friends, it's about doing the will of God. Let's continue reading after verse 65. We're going to be finished up here real quick. John 6, 65. And He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father." From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Walked with Him no more. They were offended, and now what are they doing? Up and walking away. Jesus just clearly explained, it's spiritual. I'm not talking about anything crazy. I'm not. Some people will go to this scripture on this and they'll say, well, Jesus is talking about cannibalism. Yeah, they'll say that. Yeah. They'll come to this scripture, they'll say, Jesus is talking about cannibalism. Is that what Jesus is talking about when He says, I'm talking about things of spirit? Is that what He's talking about? No, He's not talking about something crazy like cannibalism. Does that go with the rest of Jesus? With the rest of what Jesus stood for, His teachings? That's just crazy, right? That's not what Jesus was saying. That's insane. That's insane, Christians. But Christians go to these scriptures and they say that stuff. They do that. They say, well, Jesus is crazy for saying this. Maybe this was a bad moment that Jesus had, they'll say. The perfect teacher, God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He was trying to say something here. Jews, disciples of Christ, even today, disciples of Christ, He's trying to say something here. This is a prophetic thing to happen. You can tell this if you read the scriptures without any private interpretation, without any unbelief. But people come to these scriptures and, of course, have those things, which is very sad. Now, did you understand what it just said there? Verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples, many, did you catch that word? Many? Matthew 7:13, what does it say? Many are the way who go into destruction, right? That word there, John 6:66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. That's not the few. The few are the ones you're about to see. Let's read verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Simon Peter answered and said to Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray Him, being one of the 12. So He asks, "Are you going to go away too?" They say, "Where are we going to go, Lord? Where are we going to go, Christ, Jesus? Where are we going to go, God? There's nowhere we can go. You're God. You're the Christ. What are we going to do?" That's what Peter is saying here. What are we going to do? So we may not understand at first. We may not understand the scripture at first, but Christians, friends, where else are you going to go? Who else can you get salvation through? How can you get heaven? How can you get paradise? Can you get it through someone else? No, you can't. You can only get it through God. Peter understands this. The 12 understand this. These apostles, they understand. But even then, Jesus knew that there was a betrayer among them, even Judas Iscariot. There will always be traitors among us, won't there? There will be traitors among us. The question is, who will it be? And I hope it's never any of us. Who is the traitor among us? Jesus knows it. Who will not believe? Who is the one who will betray? God help us all that never happens to anyone in this congregation. That none of us ever become unbelieving like that and leave and create another denomination and go into the ways of lawlessness and are guilty of doing lawlessness and go down the broad way. God help us that never may happen. Let's read one more thing. One more thing. Matthew 10:22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It's not going to be easy in the Christian life. It's not going to be a part of the crowd. You get that part yet? We're not supposed to be a part of the crowd. That's what a lot of Christians forget. We're not supposed to be of the many. You know, everyone's looking at me. I'm the most perfect thing on earth. We're not supposed to be like that. What are we supposed to be like? We're supposed to be the one who's sitting down. Sitting in the back. The one who's showing humility. The one who's not getting angry in the room. We're supposed to be the one who's calm. The one who's like Jesus. The one who's like God. But the question is, what are you like? Are you acting like Jesus? Are you believing in Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? Or would you rather do it the ways of man? Are you unbelieving? We've talked about a lot of things this morning. We've understood what this text is saying. You now understand what this text is saying. And if you don't, I will help you to further understand. This is talking about Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. His flesh and His blood were necessary in order for us to have a spiritual sacrifice, a spiritual way through Him to get to the Father. Through Him we have that. Through His flesh and blood. His sacrifice once and for all, as in Hebrews, says that. He made that possible. His flesh and blood sacrifice. Without that happening, we could not be saved. We could not. Not even men or women in times past. That was necessary. That was something that God planned all throughout time and even before time. Christians, this is something prophetic. So it was important for me to take extra time for me to really try to get you to understand these scriptures this morning. This is a hard text sometimes to understand, but I need you to understand it. I hope everyone understands it this morning. Once again, if you don't, come and talk to me afterwards. Come and talk to me afterwards. I will help you to understand. But I think all of us get it. I think all of us know what we're talking about here and what Jesus is really trying to say. I think we do. If you're not a Christian this morning, there is only one way to be saved, as we've mentioned many times. That's through Jesus. There's no other way to be saved. If you have not been baptized, if you haven't gone into this watery grave, you're not saved. Why are you not saved? Because Mark 16:15-16, Acts 2:38, many other scriptures tell us that it's salvation that happens by even baptism. You can only get salvation by being baptized into Christ. By being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:18-20. If you don't do that, you're not saved. The whole plan of salvation is necessary. The whole plan of salvation. We've got countless scriptures on this bulletin. Countless scriptures now. We've updated this bulletin. Sister Lisa did that for us. Countless scriptures that tell you by command and example why this is the plan of salvation. Why this is God's commandments to be saved. Here, believe Jesus is the Christ and believe in His Word. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ with your mouth. Be baptized, immersed for the remission of sins, and to be added into the Lord's church and remain faithful unto death. That's the plan of salvation. Why? Because that's God's commandments to be saved. Not because I made it up. Not because you made it up. But that's because it's God's commandments. If you have not been baptized, if you have not been added to the Lord's church or remissed of your sins, you need to take care of that today. You need to take care of that today. If you are a Christian and you're struggling with anything in your life, maybe with family members, maybe it's something with a health issue in your life, maybe it's something with a spiritual issue in your life, please let us help you this morning. Let us pray with you, not for you, but with you as your friends, as those who love you. Let us pray with you and help you. Let us do that this morning if you need help at all. If you have a need, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing.